Oh my gosh, I'm so happy to be back home in Las Vegas. And you know what? To be honest, it's time for me to find a therapist here. You know, I've been doing online therapy, you know, through text messaging, through phone calls.
Right.
And I think now it's time for me to upgrade to seeing somebody face to face.
Well, I have a great website for you.
What? Tell me.
Kaka. Therapyforlatinx.com.
Kill you. Huh?
Therapyforlatinx.com helps you find the therapist of your people within your community. All you have to do is go to the website, type your zip code, and you can find it. But it's also a great website for therapists to announce themselves.
Oh, that's awesome. So they can get on a listing there.
Right.
And then you'll be searchable on the web.
And once you find the therapy you're looking for, it's excellent because you can find therapists that are actually attuned to your culture. I mean, if you're lucky, you can do Spanglish therapy. That will make a difference in the world.
Truly, because that's how we talk, girl.
Right, así es.
Better like for real. So therapyforlatinx.com. That's therapyforlatinx.com. Hi, this is Fabi Fab.
And this is Babelito.
And we are Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like
that part. Hello, hello, hello.
Good show.
Hi.
What up, dude?
I hope you're having a nice holiday break right now, Babelito.
A lot is happening, but
you got that?
But yeah, I'm excited about today's episode.
I am too. Okay, so y'all know if you are Latinos Who Lunch listeners from a long time ago.
A long time ago.
Babelito and I, our first episode of the new year is always a Latinx music episode. We pick our favorite songs on our favorite album. Usually three songs, three albums.
Yeah.
And we were inspired to do those episodes that we call them Radio Lonchea episodes. Mm-hmm. Because it's based on Radio Menea.
That's right.
And of course, Song Mess, which are two favorite Latinx podcasts.
And I've said this before, these two podcasts have brought me back to life because I have given up. I'm like, oh, I'm in my 30s, I don't care anymore. The shit that I listen to in this podcast is amazing. And I had the privilege last year of being invited in Song Mess. I had my life. It was a dream come true.
I know. I've been on Songmas several times now.
Excuse me.
I know. It's just because I'm a better friend. But I love this episode because you really, really got to nerd out on Songmas and talk about your faves.
Oh my God. So if you know who I am, some of you have seen me in action in concerts of Café Tacuba. Bitch. My love for Café Tacuba goes beyond anything. They were my first concert when I was 11, and they were my last concert when I was 36. So,
Oh my God. Yeah, that was like 10 years ago.
So if I die tomorrow, I'll be happy.
You just got that.
Wait, a veces dices bromas and I don't get it. And then I listen to the podcast and I'm like, this bitch.
Yeah, you're slow. Yeah,
all the time. I am. So I got to nerd out. And I could have gone another 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
Because I read a book for this fucking episode.
Bitch, I loved it. You were so into it.
Yeah, and I got to showcase some music of Café Tacuba that is not your common like knowledge, because people think it's just Ingrata, and that's it. But no.
Yes.
Café Tacuba are like this hipsters that were in love with 1970s German fucking abstract weird like electronic music, Kraftwerk, Can, you name it. And they show that. They have an instrumental album. I got to play a song of that. Oof. You just need to listen to it. It gave me life. And I also got to reconnect with Beverly, which I didn't know, but she was a friend of mine in undergrad.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
I saw her and I'm like, I know you. And she's like, yeah, wait a minute, I know you. So you all gonna listen to the whole entire thing in this episode.
Yeah, so we're gonna play that episode. We're gonna re-air it on the Latinos Who Lunch feed. And if you haven't listened to Song Mess, put your life together because it is such a great episode. Girl, the Grizzly Kiki was on there recently.
Yes.
Radio Menea was on there recently.
Yes.
The Shade Parade. I love them. They are so great.
Amazing.
It's been so cool just to listen to all these people.
And if you haven't,
Song Mess.
I'll put some links, but if you haven't, you need to follow Song Mess and Richard, who takes care of a lot of the things that happen with Song Mess, actually has a playlist on Spotify and he's always updating it and it's flawless. So if you want to find out the freshest thing, and when I mean fresh, I mean it comes out on a Monday, and on Monday afternoon, you're going to hear it in his playlist. If you want to hear the freshest Latinx music, you just need to follow him. So just follow anything Song Mess and you'll be up in all the Latinx music things.
All right, well, let's listen to your episode of Song Mess. Hey, Babelito.
Uy, wey.
No, you can do that.
Oh,
one
the other one. Okay.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Song Mess. My name is Richard Villegas, coming at you from the wonderful land of post-production. So this episode started out a little crazy, a little messy, which we're going to play for you, just that the intro doesn't come as normal. So I wanted to, like, you know, just fill in that gap for you all. We're going to start with the first song that we're going to be playing today is Las Flores by Jepe. It's a cover of Café Tacuba. You may notice a theme throughout the episode, but we'll get to that later. And again, just, you know, please enjoy some crazy, cool moments between Beverly Bryan and our guest, Babelito, from Latinos Who Lunch.
I'm recording just in case.
Oh my
just for
God.
Good measure.
That's so crazy.
This is bizarre.
This is mind-blowing.
Well, I'm sorry I didn't recognize you.
Speaking to the,
but it was a long time ago.
Speaking yeah. to the mics, well, I'll just go back and edit this shit in. So, okay.
But you can't, like, you can't...
No?
Recreate the moment.
No, I'm not saying let's recreate the moment, but let's fill people in on, like, what the hell just happened.
Okay, we just realized something kind of amazing. It's first there's the pseudonym and like, I don't know. Wow. No, but now I recognize it's you.
Yeah. I recognize you too.
Wow.
So a little background for the listeners. Beverlicia used to live in Vegas and Babelito, our distinguished guest, Kisho, is from Vegas. And we're all kind of gagging because you all knew each other before this.
Yeah, we used to be friends in Las Vegas. When I first moved to Las Vegas, Emma was friends with George.
With Katie, who lives here now?
She does?
Yes.
Okay, turn off the tape. No, really.
Ven y dime todas esas cosas. Invítame a sentarme junto a ti. Escucharé todos tus sueños en mi oído. Déjame estrechar tus manos y regalarte unas pocas ilusiones. Ay, ven y cuéntame una historia que me haga sentir bien. Yo te escucharé con todo el silencio del planeta y miraré tus ojos como si fueran los últimos de este país. Para sentir que nuevas flores nacerán y que cada estrella fuese una flor y así regalarte todo un racimo de estrellas. No dejes que el sol salga, solo déjame estar junto a ti.
All right, shit. So, okay, so this is kind of a mad dash, and we're going to catch up real quick. But basically, we have Favelito. This is where we are
girl,
today.
Don't.
So, but we are going to be doing a very special kind of theme episode today, right, Favelito? What are we
going to
do?
We're going to talk about my life, my passion, my favorite fucking band of all time, Café motherfucking Tacuba.
Okay, cool. So while we catch up in the studio and everybody hugs after realizing that everybody apparently knew each other, we're going to play a jam and then we'll do proper intros after this. So what do you want to start with, Babelito?
This is probably my favorite song of all time. This is El Aparato by Café Tacuba.
Welcome to another episode of Song Mess. I'm Beverly Bryan.
And I'm Richard Villegas.
Okay, we can't take this right now.
Yeah, like we're kind of gagging and we're just being messy and like the beer is already flowing.
And not in like a normal way, because let me explain. We've had some illustrious guests on this show.
That's true.
Checky, a.k.a. Algodon Egipcio, all kinds of folks. People who like we're like, I can't believe you're in my place right
Choloteca, now. Shout out to the girls in Atlanta.
Right. Well, that was cool, but like
there's still a huge deal to me, girl. I know that you go way back, but
Monica's
whatevs.
Like one of my closest friends, so I wasn't like it didn't blow my mind that she was there because she'd like crashed here before.
But well, and so so you know, we already.
My point is, yes. Okay, we thought. Let me explain it this way. We thought that we had this amazing guest, Babalito from Latinos Who Lunch.
Woo!
And we were like, oh shit, this is so amazing. Because like, you know, Latinos Who Lunch are like amazing. But then I realized that actually Babalito is not, that's not what his mom calls him.
Clearly.
And
well, actually, I don't know that.
Or maybe. But the point is that that's not his real name, which threw me off. The pseudonym threw me off, and many other things. Actually,
don't spill his real tea, girl.
I'm not going to do that. Okay. But what we're going to say is that I know Babalito from way back when, and we because I used to live in Las Vegas, and we cannot deal with it. I even like know the last guest that they had on their last episode, George Pastor.
And that's how we connected the dots.
Hi, George. How's it going?
Hey, girl.
I hear you're doing great.
So I guess. My first real proper question is, so spill some tea on Beverly, please.
I don't have tea. We used to hang out in the same circle. We knew the same people. I was in the beginning in a very long relationship, so I was very absent for a lot of these events. But we used to go to parties together. We knew so many people. And I listened to your podcast because I'm a big fan. And And I used to listen to that voice, and I'm like, that sounds like that Beverly I know. But, you know, it's one of those things that you're like brushing your teeth, and you're like, wait a second. Nah.
All
and
Beverly's, then you all continue. Beverly's sound the same. Yeah, it's true.
And look alike.
We all talk like this.
Like, what are the chances that the Beverly that I knew back in college, it's hosting, like, one of my favorite podcasts out there? It's just insane.
I'm so happy to...
I mean, like, since we get along or, like, got along before...
Yes, we did.
It makes sense that we would like each other's podcasts. I mean...
Well, and other than all the facts that you just told about our incredible podcast, you and Fabi are kind of, like, responsible for pulling us into this, you know, kind of crazy, ridiculous, like, family of brown podcasts.
Yeah.
Thank you. And, like...
For real. Super thank you.
Like, we are very excited to always promote brown podcasts. Mm-hmm. From the beginning, I was actually a little competitive. And Fabi's like, no, man, like let's just support each other. And you're like, you know what? You're right. Mm-hmm. We started he started the hashtag support brown podcast, and it's taken off.
Really?
And now it's everywhere. Yes,
we're like actually only a half brown podcast, so I really appreciate that we're like accepted.
You know, if we go with the casta system of the colonial period, ooh, once you're tinted with a little bit of that brown blood, you can never go back. So this is a brown podcast, for what I know.
Shablam!
I'm cool with that. That's fine. All right.
Well, and speaking of brown podcasts, this will be in the past tense. So Podcasterio Fest just happened in LA.
Yes, we Molcajete Dominguero it's presented Podcasterio Fest, and we gather about 17 different Latinx podcasts. This is going to keep growing, so it's going to come back. We did it in downtown LA in Plaza de la Cultura, de las Artes de la Cultura, and it was an opportunity for all this amazing brown podcast to talk about like our intersectional voices.
Right.
Like, we are queer, we're Spanglish, we're brown, and all of those things in one single platform don't happen all the time. And it just happens to be that that's 80% of the Latinx podcasts out there. So we wanted to highlight all of those voices. It was beautiful. It was
amazing. That's one of the things that's most striking to me about this like brown podcasting community that sort of has happened is the fact that like it's mostly women. And queers.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, are there like any like straight males in this sort of thing?
When it starts to make money, they'll come in and pretend like they started it.
Yes.
Ooh. And ain't that a fact?
And I think we're on the verge of things happening.
Until it gets taken away.
Oh, yes. God, is Diplo about to discover brown podcasts?
No, we have Kate del Castillo now with a fucking podcast.
Wait, what? Stop yes, it. Yes. Work. Isn't, wait, she's married to, no, is that not Peñanito's wife?
No.
Okay.
Esa es otra, güey.
Okay, no, but she's the one playing, like, the president's wife in that novela.
Ingobernable.
Aha! See? I know things.
But yeah, so now big companies are starting to realize that podcasts are a thing. This is the future.
Right.
And I think...
Like Jarritos?
Shout out, like, Goya, please.
And Jarritos, if y'all want to pay us, that's cool.
So I think before everybody else, a.k.a., you know, like, all the white men started catching on our movement, we're going to have to start doing it. And Podcasterio Fest, in a way, was the beginning for us to take control of our own voices before somebody else does it. So there's a lot of amazing things coming up, so stay tuned.
That's incredible. That's incredible. And I mean, we have so many fucking questions for you today. Like, it's just, like, this is going
to
be ridiculous.
Okay, but before that, I have to, like, explain. One of the most important things is that Babalito is the first person whoever explained to me that Mana was not cool.
That is right, and never forget it.
Can you please elaborate a bit on that thesis?
I just have a hatred for Mana. Anything Mana. My dad hates Mana. All of my family hates Mana.
But why?
My dad is always like,
other than being
hinchas. ¿Qué es eso del cucú con el cucú papá se fue? ¿Qué pendejadas son esas? I'm like, that's right, dad. This is like bullshit music. We just hate him.
Okay.
Absolutely hate him.
That's real.
To me, it's like Hootie and the Blowfish.
Oh.
And I know that everyone feels that way about them, and it's weird.
No, because, a lot of people.
But actually,
we kind of like them.
Obviously, they have a huge fan base.
They're like guilty pleasures to us.
But Richard also made me feel a little dorky for liking them.
Yeah, that's fine.
When we first met, but then but then we've become closer, and he admits the truth.
Oh, I'd like Mana were
Mana
integral to my upbringing. Absolutely, I remember like being on school trips, being like, "Corazón espinado."
Please stop
like,
right now.
Yeah, exactly. Gag.
Anyway, so we won't defend Mana because we are not here to defend Mana.
Yes, we're here to talk about Café Tacuba. And so we just played El Aparato. And, you know, we've been talking for a long time about, like, mm-hmm. doing this episode. And, like, when I even suggested it, you were like, oh, girl, I already know what our episode is. It's, like, it's going to be about Café Tacuba.
Oh, and this was, like, months and months and months ago.
So, like, let's start with, what does Café Tacuba mean to you and why?
You know, about 7-8 years ago, they were having their 20th anniversary tour.
God damn.
And 7 or 8 years, I was getting a drink, and all of a sudden, El Borrego, which is a song from Rey, which is it's one of my favorite albums of all time, started. And for some reason, at that moment, I realized that they were not just a good band or my favorite band, that they have been in my life since I was a kid. They were my first concert when I was 11 years old. That was Re, when I saw them.
Stop it.
And I just saw them a couple of weeks ago, and that was my 17th time. So it wasn't just about Café Tacuba, my favorite band. It's like Café Tacuba that are part of my identity. And I realized that at that moment. And it just changed everything, and now I'm obsessed about everything Café Tacuba.
Is there any relationship? I mean, because I think it's interesting that you connect it directly to your identity. Mm-hmm. Is there any relationship to that for you as a Mexican, you know, living in the U.S. or, like, you know, of your displacement or anything like that? Like, is there any connection to that, like, that it, like, sort of takes you back to, like, your patria, como quien dice?
Yeah, Red takes me back to Juárez. And because when I was in Juárez, I was a fan of rock en español.
Okay.
Everybody from the 90s, you can imagine, I saw in Juárez. And for a long time, I rejected any music that was in English because I was like, nope, it's all about rock en español. Everybody else sucks. So I really didn't get into indie music, for example, till I was like 22, 23 years old, because I was obsessed with this idea of rock en español, and it was through Café Tacuba. And I have memories with almost every song of Café Tacuba. That's how much they are part of, like, who I am right now.
That's rad. Bev, do you have any bands that, like, do that for you? That you have, like, a, you know, a memory almost for every song?
Belle and Sebastian.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Yes.
That's right.
See, he remembers this about me because it's true.
Yeah.
Also, I remember, like, us talking about Juárez, like, ages ago. Uh-huh. Wow.
Future Halloween costume idea, by the way. You can go as a tiger milkmaid. Just saying. No.
If I was going to do a Belle and Sebastian themed costume, there would be a lot of other ones I'd do.
Okay. Well, I tried. Okay. We have so many questions, but let's do some more música. What song do you want to follow up with?
Wait, Richard, do you have a band like that?
Yeah.
Ooh. That puts me on the spot. I mean, I'd share maybe. Like, actually, when I was a kid, when I was not even when I was a kid, but when I was in high school, yeah, Cher was like 24/7, or like disco. Life. Disco in general has always stayed with me.
You can't pick a genre.
I mean, because like it's a series of one hit wonders. That's why I'm saying. That's why I like lump it into one. But whatever. This is not about
Cher. It's Cher.
Okay, let's say Cher then. But yeah. So what do you want to go with next?
We have to play another song from Rey. Rey's a seminal album, not only for Café Tacuba, but for the history of rock en español. Rey came in a time where rock en tu idioma was a thing in South America. It was infiltrating in Mexico. So in a way, Rey and El Silencio de Caifanes, for example, were albums that they were trying to localize the idea of rock en español to Mexico.
That's interesting.
So what you see is that these albums always bring regional music, regional instruments. Café Tacuba learned how to play some of those regional instruments when they were recording Rey in LA. So I think we have to talk about another song. And another favorite song, because it talks about colonization, is El Fin de la Infancia, also from Rey.
All right, we'll listen to that and then we'll dissect.
Here with noted Café Tacuba expert Babelito.
Yes.
I mean, that's what you're getting your PhD in, right? That's sure. What you got your PhD
in,
right?
I think I'm going to get my second PhD in.
Yes.
In Café Tacuba.
Ology.
Studies.
Yes, ology.
Café Tacuba studies.
Café Tacuba mixology?
Yes.
Noted professor of Café Tacuba studies.
Caught mess. So you were mentioning that.
Podcast or perish, dudes.
I can't. You were mentioning that El Fin de la Infancia was, touching on colonialism. And, you know, Cafeta, you know, at least Ruben, who's always on the mic, he's not exactly, a wallflower. You know, he's very, open to talking about, like, political shit and, like, indigenous rights and stuff like that. Do those politics make it into the music regularly?
Yeah, and this specific song talks about how, for example, one of the lines is being at the vanguard or vanguardia without having to go to New York para ver ahí qué pasa.
Work!
Which in a way, it's what this whole movement of rock en español was. Like rock en español was happening in the 80s in Spain. And then in a way, it moves to rock en tu idioma in South America with Soda Stereo and so many other bands. And then it was Mexico's turn. And that was a way for them to say that.
Right.
And And everything about Café Tacuba was, again, about localized DF culture. So one of my spiels when it comes to my scholarship, when it comes to my podcast, our podcast, is that we always try to play with the idea of decentering. So, for example, Las Vegas is not the center. Las Vegas is the periphery of L.A., but we don't acknowledge that. Instead, we make our own center. And what we see is that now people are coming to Las Vegas to come and record with us and be with us. And I think that's what Café Tacuba was trying to say, that instead of just continuing with the same dumb idea of following the colonizers, instead, it's time to flip the microphone. In a way, they did it, because now Mexico City has an amazing and amazing music scene.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, you know, like, Mexico City has always been a cultural capital in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Like, people have always come from all over the world to seek refuge, you know, artists and
according to Vice, it's a new Berlin.
Well, that too. So, like, yeah, it's got that. It's got like a long history, you know, like going back, like, you know, way before Café Tacuba.
But I think we can all agree that prior to the 90s or early 90s, Café Tacuba, I mean, Mexico City wasn't necessarily Latin American capital of music. And it was this movement that really started this whole entire thing. And I mean, one of the things that people need to understand about Café Tacuba is that these are kids who are obsessed with Kraftwerk. These are kids that at that time, for example, wanted to play banda, which is what we heard in this song. These are a bunch of kids who were obsessed with literature. They met in school. These are kids that were, they went to go see, I forgot the name of the band. I mean, progressive electronic music. And they say, how can we bring all of these things? Just bring it to all of our friends in Mexico City. And that's what you get with Re.
Well, forever in a day, you know, when I first heard La Ingrata, I actually thought they were a punk band. Mm-hmm. Because, like, there's such, you know, punk flourishes to it. It's just like it moves super fast. And I remember, like, in the video, like, I think Ruben has like a shaved head or something like that. Like, yeah. I was like, I always was like, oh yeah, they're a punk band. Cool. Mm-hmm. Obviously that was, you know, many, many years ago, but, what makes, you know, Café Tacuba stand out among, say, like the, you know, the pillars of rock and español, like Caifanes and your, you know, Maldita Vecindad?
Because I think from the start, Café Tacuba were a local Mexico City band. And Caifanes, Soda Stereo, and all of them, they went through a process where they all wanted to be almost like cover bands of The Cure.
Right.
And they developed into their own original amazing song. By the end, Soda Stereo, Sueña Stereo, it's a masterpiece.
Yeah.
But it took a long time.
Yeah.
And Café Tacuba, from the start, has this incredibly original local songs that, in a way, for example, the first album of Café Tacuba, yes, it doesn't have the level of production that Gustavo Santaolalla brought into the whole mix, but when you get Re, it's like nothing you've heard in Mexico before.
It makes me think that there needs to be a 33 and a third book about Re.
Yes,
like 33 and a third needs to get
I
on
will
Rock and
write
Espanol.
It.
Yes,
there's
I mean, you know, every year they have like open call for pitches. About,
yeah, that will
33
be
and a third book. You
oh
should
my god,
totally
that
would
be such a good gig. There's a book that just came out last year.
It doesn't pay very well. The advance is terrible.
But I mean, like, to get to write a book about your favorite band.
Pitch it.
That's a dream come true.
I mean, you're the guy, so.
I mean, there is
get at me, Alexander.
There is the Alexander.
No, bitch. No, bitch. Okay. Quick parentheses. The first episode of Latinos Who Lunch that I ever listened to was like an end of the year thing that you know, or was it a music thing?
It was Radio Lonchea, because we were going to do something like Radio Menea.
No, this was before that. It was like your favorite things that you had heard in the year, or that you had discovered in the
best
year, or some shit like that.
Yes.
And you know, I remember you being like, oh, one of my favorites was Alexander Anvanter, and I was like, no, bitch, that is not why. No,
that's how you became friends.
No, that's not what iTunes says. Like, I like when
no,
I met,
she kept it to herself. For,
I did, and then I met
like
Fabi.
Last week. Yes,
when I met Fabi, I was like, this bitch.
Normally, Richard wouldn't keep something like that to
himself. Fabi didn't say anything to me.
Well, you know, we were still courting the Support Brown podcast, you know, crowd. So, okay, so I did just mention La Ingrata, and I feel like we should play that.
Sure.
Because obviously, it's maybe their most famous song on a internationally recognized level.
And nationally, it's a pop song that everybody knows.
Right.
I just saw Café Tacuba and they closed a festival of bandas. There was like three bandas and a mariachi or something like that.
Wow.
And the crowd was like dancing banda music. They were dancing Café Tacuba. There was another banda. Banda. So towards another the end banda, of the banda. Show, like all those...
And but they played it.
No, they didn't.
Oh, exactly.
But it was all that crowd that was asking for that song.
Of course.
Because they know they don't play that song anymore.
I saw them recently in Chicago in July. And again, everybody was like chanting Ingrata and they wouldn't do it. And, you know,
to get over it.
Well, we know why they don't do it. And like
we talked about that on one of our episodes recently. Well, actually.
We did. And, we've kind of entered this sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't sort of like territory, because like, you have everybody being like, well, that's an incredibly, fucked up song. Cause like it incites violence, this, that, and the other. And then you also have like the people who are like diehard fans who like include women and queers and who are still like, yeah, girl, we get it, but play the damn song.
Yeah.
So how do you negotiate that as a diehard fan?
I think that because I'm a diehard fan, I respect their decisions.
Right.
And there's one specific line in the song that says, te obsequio un par de balazos para que te duela.
Right.
Like I give you a pair of gunshots so it hurts. So I think that specific line really ruins the entire song, because at the end it's about a man that is hurting, but given the long messed up history of feminicide in Mexico, I think it was a necessary step. However, come on, they made a lot of money with that song for a long time.
Absolutely.
But who else is taking that step?
Exactly. I mean, because that's what that's what you mentioned. You like read an excerpt, Beverly, like, and when we discussed it a few episodes back, where like basically like Ruben was interviewed about it and he said, at some point you have to be conscious about what's happening in the world and you have to be able to transcend, despite it being a hit. So, I don't know. I want to play that song. I just because, how the hell could we not?
Yeah.
I don't think there's much more to say about it.
That's right.
Que no te creo nada, ingrata.
you doing?
I'm doing good.
Why are you in New York, girl?
I am here for work, for school. I teach at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas.
It's Dr. Babelito to you, bitches.
That's right. I just got my PhD in July, and I'm going to walk in graduation with all my family and friends in December. So things are happening. There's like a huge shift in the universe, and I can't wait for everything to come together and continue my life.
Very cool. And again, for people, I mean, the three listeners here who don't actually listen to Latinos Who Lunch, what is Latinos Who Lunch? And also, like, tell us about your PhD. Right.
We like think you guys are like Beyonce.
Yeah. Like, what, you don't know them, girl? What's good?
Latinos Who Lunch is a podcast that strives to bring conversations to the table about gender, race, social inequality, everything with everything down to earth, everything with a sense of even a little bit of comedy, but everything through the lens, through the filter of food. We always sit down, we break bread, we talk to our listeners, and we just start talking. We don't script absolutely anything. There's times that we just turn on the microphones and we'll see what happens.
Hey.
And these are conversations between Fabi Fab and myself. We've been friends for a couple years now, for 3-4 years now. And ever since we met, we've always talked about some of these issues and some of these ideas. And we decided, let's just turn on microphones and see what happened. A year and a half later, here we are.
Killing it, B. I mean,
also, they've got some good tunes on there sometimes. And lots of amazing guests. That's my pitch.
Your podcast is the kind of podcast I wanted to have.
Hey, it's lit.
So if I could, I would have a lot more episodes on music.
Frequent contributor, Babelito.
So
friend of the podcast.
Yes, please invite me anytime you want.
When I'm in Vegas, we're having Latinos Who Mess or whatever. Like we're doing this.
All of it.
It's gonna be good.
And the thing about it is that's my sueño frustrado. How do you say that in English?
No, that works just fine.
Because
I the Spanglish podcast.
Yeah, awesome.
Just because like I don't speak a lot of Spanish.
So like I always wanted to be a rock star, and I even had a band in Juarez.
Yes. Oh, and cut. What was this band? Please elaborate.
Oh my god, it was so ridiculous.
Yes, of course.
It was called Nobody's Apostles.
Yes. Yes. Wait,
so
wait, in English or Spanish?
Apóstoles de Nadie. That was the name.
Yeah, that sounds way better in Spanish.
So extra. Wait, we have a friend of Babelito's in the studio named Marta. But were you in the band as well, Marta?
Come here and say hi.
Just jump in here, Gru.
Hello.
Were you in the band as well?
No.
No, I don't think she knew.
Because she was
always a badass. If she would have known me when I had a band, she would have laughed at my face.
Work.
Yes.
You're goopy.
Okay. No, but now we got to know about this band. So like, you played the triangle, of course.
What kind of music was it?
I don't even know. We played once. We had like 4 songs. That's it.
That's cool. But what did you do? Were you the singer? Oh my god, that's the dream.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. Like that was my frustrated dream.
When we are old and crusty, we're gonna do like Latino LCD sound system. Like we're just gonna be like,
oh my god,
Juan Morfeo.
I don't have enough beard for that.
He doesn't have that much beard.
He has enough.
All right, girl, whatever. Yeah. Who cares? He's kind of well, sexy, right? Is that weird?
Look, now you're a podcasting rock star.
That is true. That is true.
No, he's just your type, which is anyway.
Who?
The LCD sound system, dude.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. That's true. I'm like, nah, Babelito, too skinny. okay. Anyway, so we have another song called 10 or number 10.
Yes. This is from an album from 1999. This is called Revés Yo Soy. I cannot find that album anywhere. It's not on Spotify. It's not in iTunes.
She's on YouTube.
That was an album that they could only play in South America. Argentinians and Chileans love that album. It's two CDs. The second CD, it's all instrumental music.
Wow.
And number 10 is an album that one of the members of Café Tacuba recorded. And he basically recorded the Compañía Nacional de Danza Folclórica of the Instituto Nacional de Bellas Artes. This was Emmanuel del Real.
Oh, wow.
Recorded them playing Zapateado and then remixed the sounds and made a whole song out of it. And that's basically the second album of Revés Yo Soy. It's just sounds of Mexico City remixed into beautiful, amazing songs.
Okay, we're definitely gonna listen to that now.
I guess if I was going to say anything about the song, it's sort of like, do you know, like, did that sort of sound collage thing predate Nortec? Because, you know,
that's exactly my point. That's what I was telling Marta in the car, that this sort of mixing of everyday sounds of the city predates that. The only thing is that they didn't add the beats to it, so it becomes this like highly experimental rock and español album that it predates that, but it's also completely separated because it doesn't have the techno aspect to it.
Oh, indeed. But then it seems like almost because like so much of what Nortec did was kind of cut and paste, a lot of sampling. I feel like it could be an influence.
And
I don't know.
And I think Café Tacuba, by that point, they're touring all over the world. Like, I saw them in music festivals as early as like 2002, 2003. So they're always trying to listen to the new bands and what's happening. And I think that's true for them forever. They're music geeks. And I think this was their opportunity to do that. But it was not a popular album. Still today, I think I've heard maybe two or three songs of that album play live. And I've seen them 17 times. So I think that's my dream, to have them play those two albums live. That will...
Nortec,
I can die
scholar
after that.
Babelito.
So, yeah.
Wait, sorry. Café Tacuba scholar. Cool. Yes. I was thinking about Nortec. Because, like, no, it's interesting that, because it's weird how, like, Nortec actually has, like, a lot of credibility outside of Mexico.
Yeah, but in Mexico, people kind of roll their eyes at them.
Right,
yeah.
and yet within Mexico, Café Tacuba is more of a big deal.
To me, correct. To me, the Revés album, it's more to what Matmos was doing, or it's still doing in a way, because it's a lot more experimental. It doesn't have, you don't want to dance to it. And that's the thing about Café Tacuba, is that 70% of their songs are not ingrata, like are not that like Mexican type of song. They're just, a lot of them are very experimental. Some of them have all these electronic elements to it. Some of them are very melancholic, even a little cheesy. And That's the thing. Every single album of Café Tacuba has those two gigantic hits and then the rest of the songs. But that's where Café Tacuba is. It's in the rest of those songs, which people should listen to.
Now, you know, Café Tacuba has been in the game, what, nearly 30 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so they just put out an album this year, Hey Baby.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people were really hyped about it. And mm-hmm. I wonder... because I didn't listen to it, you know, as considering that they already have 30 years under their belt and like that they're like huge and they're still huge,
yeah.
You know, like I find it very hard to like sort of like dive in. Like mm-hmm. this is a really great sort of like sort of study, you know, on, mm-hmm. on their career. But, you know, for somebody who's been following them for probably what, 20 years now?
Yeah.
Do you feel that they're still relevant? Like, is their music still like comparable?
I think they're still part of the game. I don't know how relevant they are. Futuro, it's a song that blew my socks away because I haven't heard that Café Tacuba song since Re.
Okay.
The album has all those elements of a good Café Tacuba album. I just don't know how different it is from what's happening right now. The thing about the new album is that they did a overhaul of their career, and they went crazy on Instagram, on Facebook, and they gather a new generation of listeners that they didn't have in the last album. The last album was an experiment. They record the whole album live in like four or five different cities, and that went nowhere. And that's like an underplay album, the right. Objeto Llamado, Antes Llamado Disco. So with this one, it was a way to reintroduce Café Tacuba to a completely new generation. And I think they did it the right way, because Futuro is the catchiest freaking song. But the rest of the album, in a way, doesn't match up. There's some good songs. It's just, it's not the Café Tacuba of Revés Yo Soy, of Re.
Because as bands age, they tend to sort of start doing versions of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like you kind of stop innovating, and it's just sort of like you look, they often try to recapture sort of that old glory or like that old innovation of earlier records.
Some bands kind of look at themselves as like, okay, we're this thing.
Right.
And if they even write a song that doesn't fit with that, they say, oh, well, this is not a fill in the blank song.
Right.
And then they start some side project. But like, I think a band like Café Tacuba is like, this is just an outlet for like whatever our creativity is. And that's why there's so much diversity within their music. Like
Ray is a brilliant album, but it's all over the place.
It is. And that's one of the reasons why I didn't want to get into indie music, because I saw how indie music was projects of specific sounds. Mm. And I came from the school of rock en español, where, again, the albums were all over the place.
We're going to paint with everything.
And that's what I was used to. And also the new album, it's in tune to a lot of things that are happening, but it's not at the vanguard. However, it's Café Tacuba, and I don't give a fuck what they do. Like, I'm still going to listen to them.
And some of the videos were pretty cool, too.
Yeah, there's definitely some good songs. It's just not... It's not, you know.
I mean, but they have a lot of albums, so it's like every album doesn't have to be
there's
the greatest
plenty,
album.
There's plenty. Whatever you're
It's like
into.
Whenever a Jay-Z releases something or like U2 releases something, it always gets compared to like the old shit, but you're like, well, yeah, but you're stalwarts. Who cares?
I'm a very tolerant fan and sadly in a lot of ways a very tolerant music critic, but... which makes me not a very good music critic sometimes, but also I'm just like, look, I see what they were going for, you know?
Let's listen to El Futuro before we start spilling some real tea, Hanny.
Yo dije que no, ella dijo sí. Yo dije que sí, ella dijo no. Al final no importa, es algo que Dios ya decidió. La muerte dijo sí. Yo digo que no. Y muerto en vida sobreviví.
Talking about Rock en Español, we've been talking about Café Tacuba, we've been talking about how Café Tacuba is like, you know, they do like a lot of different kinds of, you know,
genres,
you know, a lot of different kinds of styles of music. It's not just one sound the whole time. And it's not like they're going to say, okay, well, this is not like our style of music and this is not a Café Tacuba song. Like the band evolves with like the members' creativity. And there are a lot of bands like that. But I feel like that's an example, and there's a lot of examples of how rock en español isn't just like a word that means like rock music in Spanish, or like when you say rock en español, it doesn't just mean rock music in Spanish.
Right.
It's its own culture. It has its own sounds. It has its own things to it. So it's sort of like a lot of people like hear about music from like if you're in the US or like people in England or North America, like hear about music from other countries and they think, well, you know, it's just like rock music, but in like another language. But there's always like a different culture, a different sounds, different things that are like you should probably check out if you haven't. That's just what I'm saying. You know, like rock en español is more than
it's
just
a lot
like,
of things. Like at the same time as Café Tacuba and Caifanes are happening, La Maldita Vecindad is doing some of the best ska that Mexico has ever produced.
I saw them live last year. They were fabulous,
incredible. And La Maldita Vecindad has an album. I forgot the name of the album, but it's all about the life in the city, just like Café Tacuba, like Caifanes, and. But at the same time, you have bands like Santa Sabina. They wrote songs about vampires. They were looking at William Blake.
Wait,
art.
What? I need to know this band, and because I don't know this band, and clearly I need it in my life.
It is Babel, which that's where my name comes from Babelito. It's an album by Santa Sabina. And it is
really?
Still... And I like so much music, and Babel, it's still my favorite album of all time. It is an incredible, incredible album. But it's a jazzy album that you don't associate with,
okay, never
with rock en español. No, not jazzy like that. You will like it. It's a good album. They have a poet from Mexico who wrote all these lyrics, and they're all about sucking blood. It is incredible. But
I'm
people don't
so
associate that
to
with
listen to this.
The rock en español, yeah.
Well, speaking about bloodsuckers, please tell people where they can listen to Latinos Who Lunch.
You can listen to Latinos Who Lunch in every single platform, in Stitcher, in Spotify, in iTunes, in Google Play.
Aren't you on Spotify?
Yes, we are on Spotify as
bad
well.
Bitches.
We were featured for Hispanic Cultural Month.
Oh my
yes.
goodness.
And we're also, you can send us emails and you can send us comments in iTunes, in latinoswholunch@gmail.com. We're Instagram, Twitter, donde se les ocurra.
And for Song Mess, all of that same shit, but just at Song Mess.
And not Spotify.
And not Spotify because we're not bad bitches.
They did not accept us.
We didn't want them because we actually use Pandora.
It's their loss.
Okay, well, so this is our like little final segment. You kind of actually did our signing off for us. So thank you, Babelito.
Thank you so much. This is a dream come true.
Yes, and Fabi can suck it. Actually, no. Friend of the show, Fabi Fav, who I interviewed on the street.
He's coming next year, and I think I'm going to come and visit it. So we're going to have to all four of us sit together. And
I'm not going
to
be here.
Ay, te pasa.
Te dije que me voy, bitch. I'm like, Trump is not my color. Orange just doesn't do it for me.
Dude, you said you weren't moving because of Trump.
No, I'm not. But also, that is a really great incentive.
Yeah. Yes.
So we have one more song before signing out. And again, just a huge, huge shout out, huge thank you to the Babelito himself.
Holy.
And Marta, thank you for driving. We're signing out with Desperté. What's up with the song, Babelito?
Desperté is from Cuatro Caminos. Cuatro Caminos was, I think Pitchfork said it was the OK Computer of Café Tacuba.
Wow.
They introduced drums into that album. They didn't have drums. It was just a sound machine. And the songs are just airy and beautiful. The song, the album after that, it's See No, and that's like that Coldplay album. I don't like it at all. And that's why I didn't bring any of the songs from that album. But this album, from beginning to end, again, it's like fluffy and airy. And it's really what Café Tacuba is all about. So it's a perfect song to sign off with.
Re and Cuatro Caminos are like both like iconic albums from there. So as you said, like one is the OK Computer. So like, is Re like the Benz or something? Like one is more rock and roll. And then the other one is just like very crazy experimental.
No, Re is like, I think Re is like the Kid A.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so they went from like really, really weird to like a little bit more mainstream.
Yeah. I think Re it's not weird for us now.
Right.
But at the time, what was happening in rock en español, it was completely different. And Cuatro Caminos is just, it's just like a good, fluffy, almost experimental pop album. So good.
Fantastic. Okay. So this has been Song Mess. My name is Richard Villegas. Anything else before we sign out, Beverlicia?
I need to lie down.
Too much.
Thank you so much, Babelito.
Gracias. Ciao, ciao, ciao.
Suck it, Fabi.
Exploté en mil pedazos, reventé. Están todas las paredes llenas con pedazos.
estrellaré. Romperé todas las calles que están debajo de mis dos pies. Me eché a correr y desdoblé todo mi cuerpo. Quedaré expuesto a los rayos del sol.
Guardo y dejo todas mis fuerzas.